Hi. In this brief episode, I'm going to try to cover a couple of adrenal disorders, including Addison's disease or adrenal insufficiency and Cushing's disease. But I want to remind you about the anatomy and the histology of the adrenal gland in order to understand all the interactions between different hormones. So you have to remember that the adrenal gland is made of different layers. The cortex of the gland has three different types of cells and organized in different layers. So the first one, or the most superficial one, is the zona glomerulosa that secretes aldosterone in response to angiotensin II. The zona fasciculata and the zona reticularis respond to ACTH that comes from the pituitary and secretes cortisol. And then deeper, lastly, the adrenal medulla, which is rich in catecholamines, and then is going to be involved in a tumor called pheochromocytoma. Aldosterone usually acts at the level of the distal tubule in the glomerulus, and it secretes potassium into the urine, accompanied by hydrogen ions to acidify the urine, and in exchange, it resorbs sodium and a lot of water. That's the function of aldosterone, usually. I mean, at a normal level. The function of cortisol mainly is a glucocorticoid, which increases glucose. So it acts as a stress hormone. So it's worth remembering that the juxtaglomerulus apparatus and the afferent artery are going to sense the intravascular volume. So when there's depletion of intravascular volume, the juxtaglomerulus apparatus is going to secrete a lot of renin. Renin is going to act on the angiotensinogen, converting angiotensin, and then the angiotensin converting enzyme will convert angiotensin 1 to angiotensin 2, which is going to finally stimulate the zona glomerulosa to secrete aldosterone. So one of the first disorders of the adrenal gland will be hyperaldosteronism. So you will have primary causes and secondary causes. The primary hyperaldosteronism is characterized by a low renin and a high level of aldosterone. In primary hyperaldosteronism, you could include Kahn's syndrome, adrenal hyperplasia, or too much cells secreting aldosterone, congenital adrenal hyperplasia, and finally, adverse effects of mineralocorticoids. As part of the secondary causes of hyperaldosteronism, you're going to find a difference in terms of labs. So the secondary cause will give you elevated renin and high aldosterone. So when you have elevated renin, suspect bilateral renal artery stenosis or high volume states like heart failure, ascites, or even pregnancy and the physiological changes during pregnancy. Hyperaldosteronism is going to present with hypertension from excess of water and resorbed sodium. Remember, an excess of aldosterone is driving a lot of sodium within the distal tube and a lot of water as well. Hypokalemia, because it's dumping out potassium and hydrogenions into the urine. So in addition to hypokalemia, you're going to have metabolic alkalosis because of the loss of hydrogen ions. because of the hypokalemia, the patient could complain of motor weakness or just fatigue. And then nephrogenic diabetes insipidus that can occur from hypokalemia. So that's the typical presentation of a patient with hypertension, with low potassium, with elevated sodium, fatigue, hypertensive, as I said, and polyuric, and complaining of having to drink a lot of water. In the other hand, when you have low aldosterone, it's because the gland is failing. So you have Addison's disease. And one of the main causes of Addison's disease is an autoimmune destruction of the gland, which is typical in the pediatric patients, and also in patients, pregnant patients who delivered, and then those patients who go hypotensive and very hemodynamically unstable after delivery. You have to suspect hemorrhagic adrenalitis in those patients, fatal or severe meningococcemia in patients who are infected and have lack of a spleen and are immunosuppressed. With destruction of the gland, you lack aldosterone and you lack cortisol. So cortisol will help in a normal state of health. Cortisol will help the patient to respond to stressful events like any infection or any disease. So when they don't have cortisol, they present with hypoglycemia and they don't respond well to any stressful situation. And the lack of aldosterone, the patient is not going to be able to resorb sodium, so they will have hyponatremia, and then the lack of aldosterone is going to keep a lot of potassium inside in the intravascular compartment, so they will have hyperkalemia. And then remember, the hydrogens are not going to be excreted either, so they will present with metabolic acidosis. So again, let me just recap this. So you don't have aldosterone and you don't have cortisol, so they will have hypoglycemia, they will have hypotension to any stressful situation, and then hyperkalemia, a mild metabolic acidosis, and hyponatremia as well. These patients need to be supplemented with any hypoadrenal crisis or any Addisonian crisis with steroids. So if they are stable hemodynamically, you just have to supplement them with prednisone as one of the main mineral corticoids. If they don't respond to steroids, prednisone, you will have to supplement the patient with fluorocortisone, which is the steroid with highest mineralocorticoid content as well. These patients may present with a discoloration or hyperpigmented skin because the ACTH that comes from the pituitary keeps stimulating the gland, and the gland does not produce any hormone. So there's going to be an effect from the corticotropin release hormones in the melanocytes. And that's why the skin is going to be slightly darker in these patients.